Number 26.
There is light in a look at the crucified one. There is life at this moment for thee. Then look, sinner, look unto him and be saved, unto him who was nailed to the tree. Look, look, look and live. There is life in a look at the crucified one. There is life at this moment for thee. It is not thy tears of repentance nor prayer, but the blood that atones for the soul. On him then believe and a pardon receive, for his blood now can make thee quite whole. Look, look, look and live. There is life in a look at the crucified one. There is life at this moment for thee. We are healed by his stripes. Wouldst thou add to the word, and his our righteousness made. The best robe of heaven he bids thee put on. Oh, couldst thou be better? At this moment for thee. Men doubt not thy welcome, since God has declared there remaineth no more to be done. But once in the end of the world.
look to the Lord together.
God,
our Father, might we also sing hymn number 35. Oh, what a Savior that He died for me. From condemnation He hath made me free. He that believeth on the Son, saith He, hath everlasting life. Number 35. Gospel of John. John's Gospel, chapter 5. And we'll read from verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation or judgment, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and he hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good, unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil, unto the resurrection of damnation, or judgment. Verse 39. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me, that ye might have life. Now shall we turn to the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation. And verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Solemn verses these, beloved friends, that we have just read together. words that have been recorded in God's book, words that cannot be altered. Men have tried to alter them, but they stand. They have stood through the years, and they will stand. For heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And I trust, as we read these verses together, that our hearts were solemnized, because one cannot help but feel the gravity of a meeting like this. Considering the lateness of the hour in this world's history, and considering the fact that there may be some in our audience tonight who have been brought up in a Christian home, who have come up through the Sunday school, and who have a knowledge of God's way of salvation in their head, but still have not yet made Christ their own personal Savior. Is it possible that there could be such a one in this audience tonight? A boy or a girl, a man or a woman? Oh, what issues are at stake tonight? Eternal issues. For, beloved friends, as you listen to the Word of God read in your presence, you are placed in a position where you must make a decision. You must decide for Christ as your own personal Savior, or you must reject Him. There's no other choice. There's no other position that you can take. But how wonderful that the day of grace is still with us. How wonderful that God is still lingering in long-suffering grace over this present evil world. How wonderful that God is still beseeching sinners to be reconciled to Himself through the death of His Son. Now, in these verses which we've read in the fifth chapter of the Gospel of John, the Lord Jesus is presented under two titles, as you will have observed as we read it together. He's presented as the Son of God who quickeneth or giveth life to whom He will. And then He's presented as the Son of Man, the one who has been given authority to execute judgment. Now, to put it in the simplest terms, the Lord Jesus is presented to us here tonight, on the one hand, as a Savior who is able to give life, and on the other hand, as a judge before whom you must stand if you refuse Him as your Savior. Then we have 2 hours spoken of in this chapter. We have 1 hour in verse 25, the hour is coming, and now is. That hour is still with us. And that hour, shall we call, is the hour of salvation. And then we have another hour, which is spoken of in verse 28, for the hour is coming. That hour is still future. That hour when the graves will be opened and when the dead shall come forth. Then we have 2 days presented to us in the Word of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul, writing to the saints at Corinth, says, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And then, in the 17th chapter of Acts, he reminds us that God has appointed a day in the which he will judge this world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, wherein he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Now a day and an hour is a unit of time. That is, it has a beginning and it has an ending. This day had a beginning. This day will have an ending. And oh, beloved friends, the day of salvation began when the Lord Jesus was in this world. For, says the apostle in Hebrews chapter 2, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord? At first began to be spoken by the Lord. Yes, the Lord Jesus is the man that came from heaven. As we had in our chapter this afternoon, he is the one that came from God and went back to God. He came into this world. Oh, beloved friends, and he brought with him that wonderful, wonderful message of salvation. But the day of salvation is drawing near to a close. The shadows are lengthening. The days are darkening. Soon we shall hear the shout of that same blessed man who walked the paths of this world, bringing salvation to all who would have it. Soon we'll hear that shout that will close this day of salvation. And then, for all who are still in their sins, it will be forever too late. Oh, my friends, one cannot impress you sufficiently tonight with the fact that it's getting late in this world's history. This world in which we live is under the judgment of God. It's no longer on probation. The trial of man ended at the cross. God tried man in every conceivable way. Last of all, he sent his son, his own beloved son. And they said, this is the heir, come let us kill him, that the inheritance might be ours. They cried, away with him, away with him. We'll not have this man to reign over us. Yes, the trial of man ended at the cross. The world in which we live is under the judgment of God, and soon that judgment is going to fall. Soon that judgment is going to be executed, and that judgment will be executed by the very man that came into this world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now one would like to ask the question, before going any further into our chapter, is there one in our audience tonight who knows not the Lord Jesus as Savior? Oh, our hearts are concerned about you tonight. We realize that you're standing in jeopardy. We realize that for you tomorrow's sun may never rise. And we realize, on the authority of God's word, that if you should die in your sins, the doors of heaven shall be forever closed against you. For the Lord Jesus said, if you die in your sins, whither I go, ye cannot come. Oh, what a solemn word that is, beloved friends. If you die in your sins. We read in Romans chapter 12, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death is passed upon all men, in that all have sinned. And again, God's word declares, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And again, the wages of sin is death. And still again, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Oh, what solemn verses these are, beloved friends. You and I have no claim to life. We have forfeited every claim to life, for we have sinned. We were born into this world with a fallen, sinful nature, and besides that, we're guilty of sinning against a holy God. We have no claim to life. But yet, the Son of God has come into this world that you and I might live through him. For in this was manifested the love of God toward us, in that he sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Yes, we were dead in trespasses and sins. Is that not what our verse teaches us here tonight? Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Dead, dead in trespasses and sins. That's the state of every unsaved soul here tonight. In the sight of God, you are dead, spiritually dead, not a spark of life Godward. And what does a dead man need? He needs life. And the Lord Jesus came into this world as the quickener of dead souls. He came that you might live. But not only were we dead, we were guilty. Here in his love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Yes, beloved friends, all that we needed as guilty sinners in this world, all that we needed as dead souls, God has provided for us in the gift of his only begotten Son. Oh, you'll notice that little word sent appears in our chapter twice. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which sent him. And again, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me. He was sent into this world. Sent by whom? Sent by God the Father. Sent that you and I might live. You and I who deserved to die, you and I who deserved the wages of sin, God in his infinite love has provided a Savior for us, one who is able and willing to save to the uttermost all who will come. All one thinks of the poor leper who came to the Lord Jesus, and he says, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. If thou wilt. Oh, he didn't question for one moment the Lord's ability to cleanse him. He didn't question for one moment the power that was there for him. But what did he question? Oh, he says, as it were, Lord, are you willing? Are you willing to cleanse me? Oh, dear friends, do you question tonight the willingness of the blessed Savior to quicken your dead soul? Do you question his willingness to give you life tonight, eternal life, in the place of eternal death that you deserve? Oh, there's no question about his power. There's no question about his ability. Do you question his willingness? Ah, let these words settle it for you tonight. Beloved friends, as he spoke to those Jews, he could say, "Ye search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." That is, they wanted this eternal life. The very fact that they were searching the Scriptures to find it proved that they wanted it. But here was the one, the only one, in whom this life could be had, standing in their very presence. And he had to say, "Ye will not come unto me." Oh, with what feeling he must have uttered those words as he beheld those poor, sinful men. "Ye will not come unto me that ye might have life." He was willing, but they were not willing. Is that your case tonight, dear friends? The Lord Jesus is willing to save you tonight. He's willing to give you life. Are you willing to let him save you? Are you willing to reach out the hand of faith and accept the prize that he offers to you? Eternal life. For see what our verse says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death unto life." What wonderful words these are. And when we think that they came from the lips of the eternal Son of God, the one who came into this world that you and I might have life. Let's ponder these words. Let's weigh them tonight. Let's go over them slowly. Truly, truly, for that's the meaning of those words, verily, verily. Truly, truly, I say unto you, just as if he had come near to us tonight, just as if he were standing in our very midst and addressing each one personally, individually, for you must have to do with him as individuals. And what is he saying to you tonight? "He that heareth my word." That's the first thing. "He that heareth my word." Now, if I were going to some remote corner of the globe tonight, I might find myself confronted with an audience who had never heard this word. But I'm sure that this is not the case tonight. I'm sure that everyone here has heard the words of the Son of God. As the Apostle Paul, in writing to Timothy, could say, "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation." That's true of most of you here tonight, you young people. You've been brought up in Christian homes. "That from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation." But have you really made them your very own? For the Lord Jesus says in the very next chapter, "Except ye eat the flesh and drink the blood of the Son of Man, ye have no life in you." Oh, you're dead, without life, without a spark of life, unless you have appropriated to yourselves the value of the atoning death of Christ. For the Lord Jesus, through the eternal Spirit, offered himself without spot to God. He has glorified God in regard to the whole question of sin. He has shed his own precious blood on the altar of Calvary's cross. And now God in righteousness can come out to each one of us, and he can offer us salvation full and free, without money and without price. Oh, let these words sink down into your heart tonight, dear friends. except ye eat the flesh and drink the blood of the Son of Man, ye have no life in you. No life in you. No life. What a solemn thing it would be to pass out of time into eternity with no life. To spend eternity in the blackness of darkness forever. Oh, where the rays of the sunshine of God's love can never penetrate. No life, no life, no life. Is that the case of any here tonight? Oh, one would earnestly entreat you to turn to Him tonight, who is able to quicken your dead souls and bring you out of darkness into God's marvelous, marvelous light. He that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Everlasting life. The same kind of life that the Lord Jesus has. Wouldn't you like to have life like that? For the life is in him as to its source. And he gives it to all who put their trust in him. A life that has gone down into death. A life that has risen triumphantly out of the grave. A life that has gone back into the glory, beyond the reach of sin and death and judgment. That, beloved friends, is the life that is offered to you tonight. Life everlasting. Does that appeal to your heart? Do you long to say, oh, I wish that life were mine? I wish that I knew I had it. Oh, I'm sure there are some here tonight in that very position. I can look back to the time in my life when, as a boy, I used to go to the meeting with my parents. And as I sat there and listened to the gospel told out in all its fullness, I used to say to myself, oh, if I only knew that I was saved, if I only knew that I had life, I longed to have the matter settled and settle eternity. Thank God the day came when my lips were opened to confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and to believe in my heart that God had raised him from the dead. And from that moment on, I could say, I am saved. I have eternal life. And you can do the same thing tonight, beloved friends. Oh, have you ever confessed Jesus as Lord? Did you ever have that desire in your heart to confess him? Will you not take this opportunity that presents itself to you tonight? Will you not confess the Lord Jesus as your own personal Savior and go home tonight rejoicing in the fact that you've been quickened by divine power, that you've been saved by divine grace? Would you not like to go home tonight rejoicing in that knowledge? Oh, you may. You may. The choice lies with you. Hath everlasting life. Is it possible? Hath everlasting life. Yes, that's what God's word says. And we have every right to believe what God says. Hath everlasting life. If there had been a period there, that would have been grand. But oh, God doesn't stop there, because he knew that these hearts of ours might still be a little bit troubled about that judgment that is yet to come. And so he sets us at perfect ease, at perfect peace in regard to the whole matter. And he goes on to say, but and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death unto life. Oh, this is too wonderful. How grand. Shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death unto life. And yet, this is what the Son of God offers to you tonight, beloved friends, if you will simply put your trust in Him. In the third chapter, we have the case of a man, Nicodemus by name, a Pharisee, a ruler of the Jews, who came to Jesus by night. He had observed, no doubt, some of the miracles that the Lord Jesus had performed. Perhaps he had heard of others. And he came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles save God be with him. Ah, he realized here was a man that had power that was beyond any human power that had ever been seen or that it was possible to see. And he drew the right conclusion. Here was a man that had come down from God. But what does the Lord say to him? Ah, he says to him, Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Oh, how the Lord could read his heart, just as he can read your heart tonight. And he says, as it were, Nicodemus, I know that you're considered a good man. I know that you're respected by your fellow men. But Nicodemus, that will never fit you for my presence. If you're going to be in heaven, you must have a life and a nature suited to heaven. You must be born again. You must be born again. You must have a new life. Oh, beloved friends, has that lesson ever been learned by you? There's no patching up of that old natural life that you have received. For that which is flesh is flesh, and that which is spirit. No, you must be born again. If you're going to be in the glory, you must have a life suited to God's presence. How about it? Have you been born again? If not, you're still in your sin. You're still dead in trespasses and sins. You're still groping in the darkness of nature. Well, then it goes on in our chapter. We've been speaking of that hour when the Lord Jesus was here as a man, imparting life to dead souls. And then he tells us of another hour that is soon to come. Verse 28, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. No, death doesn't end all. How many a person, having gotten themselves into such a terrible mess in this life, that they have sought the easy way out, and they have committed suicide, thinking that that would close their history. Little did they realize that there's coming a day when they must stand before God. There's coming a day when they must respond to that voice of power, that voice of the Son of God, and they shall come forth. Notice what it says, in the which all that are in the grave shall come forth. Not one exception, all that are in the grave, but not all at the same time. No, there's a difference. Not all at the same time. For everyone who has died in faith, when the Lord Jesus descends from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, shall hear that voice. It will be a selective voice. It will only be heard by those who have died in faith, and they shall come forth out of the grave. Their bodies shall be changed, and they shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. So shall they ever be with the Lord. What a wonderful prospect that is. What a wonderful triumph that will be when those graves yield up their prey. But, oh, beloved friends, that does not end all. For there are multitudes left behind. That call will be a selective voice. It will cause a great separation. One remembers a number of years ago, during the last World War, he went down to the railway station to meet a friend who was coming into town. And one saw a sight that has left a lasting impression on one's mind. For there was a young man in uniform. He had gotten his call, evidently, to go to camp, and from there on across the seas to the battlefield. And he was saying goodbye to his mother. And his mother embraced him, and she placed a goodbye kiss upon his cheek. And the young man boarded the train. And he no sooner got on the train when the whistle blew, and it rolled out of the station. And I well remember the expression on that mother's face as she turned and buried her hands in her face in her hands, and she wept and wailed aloud as that son of hers departed out of the station. Oh, one thought there was a hope that that young man might return again. But, oh, beloved friends, if you die in your sins, there's no hope for you. You will be eternally lost. Eternally lost. You will lift up your eyes in hell. Oh, these are solemn words. These are true words. For God's word is truth. Yes, the hour is coming when all that are in the graves shall hear the voice of shall hear his voice and shall come forth. Well then, we learn from the 20th chapter of Revelation that between these two resurrections recorded here, there will be at least 1,000 years. But at that time, after the 1,000 years has finished, then what? That same voice will once again be heard, and it will call by its power every dead soul out of the grave. Yes, the sea will yield up its dead. What for? To stand before the great white throne. Great speaks of its vastness. White speaks of its purity. And who is the one who will sit upon that throne? None other than he who is the Son of Man. For as Son of Man, all judgment has been committed into his hands. What a solemn moment this will be. See how it's put in our verses. I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was no place for them. No, sustained by divine power, they will stand before that judgment throne. And the books will be opened, and they will be judged, every man, according to his work. My friend, are you going to find yourself in this company? It's possible If you continue to neglect so great salvation, it's possible that you will find yourself among this company of whom we're reading tonight. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Oh, could one read more solemn words than these, beloved friends? Can you sit in your seat? Can you listen to words like these? For these words are the words of God. Can you listen to them and take them lightly? Can you listen to them and smile at the one next to you? Can you listen to them and talk to the one next to you? Oh, my friend, how can it be when eternal issues are at stake? How can it be when it's a matter of life or death? How can it be when it's a matter of eternity in the pit of hell or eternity in the presence of the Lord? How can it be that you can take these issues so lightly? Oh, one would plead with you tonight, if you're still in your sins, if you have not yet heard the voice of the Son of God, oh, that your ears might be opened to hear tonight, and that you might receive this message into your heart, and that you might be able to say, thank God, I have eternal life tonight. Will you do that? Will you accept the Lord Jesus tonight, right where you sit in your seat? Oh, there must be one, I'm sure, who is still in his sins. Will you not settle the matter now? For remember, the day of grace is practically gone. Practically gone. And God is still offering to you once more, perhaps for the last time, this message of salvation. And then you see, we have in almost the very last words of our Bible that wonderful invitation. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Let him that is athirst come. Let him that is athirst come. What is it to be thirsty? Oh, it's to have a longing, unsatisfied desire. Is there such a one? Did you come into this room tonight with a thirst, an unsatisfied desire? Did you come into this room tonight seeking salvation, seeking eternal life? Oh, God is offering to you one more invitation. And he says, let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Observe the terms on which this water of life is offered. Let him take it. Take it. And how? Take it freely, freely. Oh, don't you see? That brings it right down within your reach. Had there been some price attached to it, perhaps I might not have been able to meet that price. But God is asking no price tonight. He's offering to you this offer freely, freely. He says, take it freely. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Oh, my friend, does that offer appeal to you tonight? Come and receive from his hands that wonderful offer, everlasting life. Now we sing hymn number 9. Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and he will surely give you rest by trusting in his word. Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you, he will save you, he will save you now.